This is Ozarks at Large. In the fall, the University of Arkansas Honors College will continue its signature seminar series for Dean Scholars in the college. Some of the top educators and researchers on campus spend a semester discussing in-depth, timely issues with students from across the campus. One such seminar in the fall will be focused on cancer and led by Timothy Muldoon, an assistant professor of biomedical engineering and the principal investigator at the Translational Biophotonics and Imaging Laboratory. Though the seminar is for students, there will be a public talk this week to offer everybody a bit of a preview. It's scheduled for Wednesday at 5:15 p.m. in Gerhard Hall Auditorium on the UA campus. Tim Muldoon says he chose the title of his seminar, Cancer, A Constellation of Disease, for many reasons.
So cancer was originally historically, in the time when people didn't understand the cellular basis of cancer, when it was observed in a person after they would cut it out or examine it, it looked like there were tentacles growing through tissue, and it resembled a crab. And so the zodiac constellation for a crab is Cancer. And so there's a little bit of a, you know, constellation astronomy lingo there, which I always thought was kind of cool. But the term constellation of disease, I wanted it to, you know, reflect the extraordinary complexity behind the disease process itself, as well as the societal ramifications that are associated with it. So, this course will explore a lot of the different research topics without going into too much of the detailed science. I think there's a lot of really interesting things there that we can discuss. But the constellation of disease is, you know, the effects on the healthcare system and the effects on the individual and their families and the educational aspects of cancer and preventive medicine. Which of these things are most valuable in terms of exploring? And so that's why I kind of went with that route, is that there's a whole host of different topics and different ideas that cut across all areas of, from science to social science to the economy to politics. That's probably why everybody has been touched by cancer in some way or another.
There's, of course, the human cause. People become ill. In many cases, it can be a fatal condition. But you also mentioned the societal and economic. I mean, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars?
Well, I looked up a number a few weeks ago. In terms of the United States, at least, we spend about $125 billion a year annually just on medical costs. So just the medical care of patients for all types of cancer that we have.
And that was with a B.
With a B, $125 billion a year. So a huge fraction of the U.S. gross domestic product goes to just treating just the health care behind patients. I don't even think that number includes things like lost wages or lost wages from the family members that take care of people. One of the issues with cancer, and a lot of us know this, is that it can be a very long-term chronic disease. And even when treatment is successful, people have long-term morbidity associated with that. That can require very advanced care. It may just be whatever the long-term sequela are, may keep you from working, may keep you from being as financially productive as you could be. And so that figure, $125 billion, is more like the billable value that we see associated with that. But this isn't including all of the other intangible and impossible to quantify things that are associated with it as well.
Where are we in our understanding of and I say that knowing that there are many, many kinds of cancers, but where are we with our basic understanding of cancer?
Right. Trying to be as general as I can with that, you could look at our knowledge of the disease of cancer over the last, 100 years has been exponentially increased over the last 10 to 20 years. I mean, we've made great strides in understanding the underlying cellular machinery that goes into how cells divide, how cells behave normally, what gets disrupted, and you know, there isn't any one thing. Another, going back to that theme of constellation of disease, I mean, there are thousands of mechanisms that could lead to the deregulation of cell division and various mechanisms that lead to increased invasiveness, increased metastatic risk, or cancers that are less benign or less aggressive. I mean, more benign, less
right.
aggressive. and so, what we've learned is that there's always more to learn. If that makes sense, this is a very complex set of variables that we've discovered that govern the underlying disease process.
You mentioned also political. It's hard to think of something that's been a political item over the last 2 weeks that is not somehow connected to cancer in some way. Whether you think about the EPA. Or obviously, what the future of healthcare is, or even, you know, cabinet positions like HUD. I mean, these all deal with where we live, how we live, and in some way, cancer, or what can become cancer in someone is connected.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing that has come to mind most has been the discussion with the Affordable Care Act. Of course, what we do know is that. People that are healthier and take reasonable preventive measures tend to do better. And they tend to, I'm not going to say that there's any one thing that can make somebody immune to cancer, but we do know that we see higher incidences of cancer in people with lower socioeconomic, people from lower socioeconomic walks of life and people who lack access to basic healthcare. That cuts across just cancer, though. I mean, there's other chronic illnesses, heart disease and diabetes in particular, that I would argue are at least as important in that particular thing. But access to healthcare and access to information with regard to preventive measures is particularly important, I think, in the long term. Well-being as in the population as a whole. One of the other things that I think is very interesting and yet challenging to discuss with cancer is all we can really go on is statistics. And, you know, what works for a population, and you could say that 60% will respond to X and 70% will respond to Y, you know, but we tend to experience things on an individual basis. And so it often is that there's, you know, the recommendation that may work for one person doesn't necessarily work for another person. Take, for example, smoking. We always hear smoking will give you cancer, right? But it turns out only about 1 out of 7 people who smoke will develop classical lung cancer. But there are a certain number of people that will develop lung cancer that have never smoked. And so this is why I think... it's really important to engage the public and engage the educators in the U.S. to really ensure that we can give a clear message on how what preventive measures are important, exercise is important, eating healthy, all the things that you already know, which seem very unsexy, if I can say so.
Sure, sure.
you know, those things really do go a long way and make a huge difference when we look at the population as a whole.
One of the other signature seminar series that is being conducted this semester on campus, Charles Robinson talking about race. And mm-hmm. when he and I talked about it, you know, almost every student has had some connection to race. I'm sure you're going to find that out mm-hmm. in this seminar, that because the statistic, 1 in 3 people during their lifetime will be diagnosed with a cancer.
That's right. Yeah. I looked it up just a little bit earlier. I guess it's around 39% is your sort of lifetime risk of all types of cancer. Now, again, there's a spectrum of different types of cancer. Certain types of skin cancer, for example, the non-melanoma types tend to be very easily treated. You can get that frozen off, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people who are fair skin in the sun a lot, you know, we see that fairly frequently. But there's other types that are far more insidious, where you don't know that you have it until it's too late. Pancreatic cancer, for example. And so there's, again, there's a very complex array of diseases that we see, and there's not like a one size sort of fits all description of that sort of thing. And so, but having said that, yes, I think all of us will be exposed to either amongst ourselves or very close loved ones where you know, we can relate the anecdote of, I know somebody with cancer.
Treatment is also very complex. Couldn't you and I have the same cancer and go through the same treatment, and we don't know how similar our outcomes will be?
That's right. Yeah, that's actually a really interesting perspective, and something that I'm very interested in my own research is trying to understand better why some people have more favorable outcomes than others. For example, if someone is diagnosed with not just a site-specific cancer, you know, breast cancer, let's say, for example, but even a histologically similar cancer, meaning that down to the cellular level, the structural level, they're identical. Same stage, meaning it's about the same size, hasn't spread to, or, you know, hasn't advanced to a certain degree. Two people, all those other things being the same, there still is a difference in how in outcomes and sensitivity to treatments and their responsiveness to whatever available treatments there are. And there's even a complex interplay between the genetics of cancer. So if you go down and you dig in and you look at the individual gene alterations that may be causing a person's cancer, even if those things are the same, we still may have different outcomes. And that's this complex interplay between genotype, phenotype, meaning the way the individual cells are reacting and metabolizing the whatever cancer drug or radiotherapy that is happening. And so there's a lot of interest right now, I think, in the research community in actually taking advantage of or really examining that sort of thing and coming up with more patient-specific therapies. So there's the Precision Medicine Initiative, for example, that is really trying to dig into those sorts of genetic and phenotypic parameters of an individual's cancer and using that to tailor individual treatments. And we don't really know yet whether or not that's going to be the wave of the future. We know that that's going to work for some people. And again, going back to this theme of this inordinate complexity, I mean, people are complex and biology is very complex. And you may come up with a very clever or eloquent solution for a particular problem, but that's not necessarily going to work for the person that sits next to you. And that's an interesting thing. That's an ongoing problem.
You, part of this seminar is a public lecture or talk or discussion. That's on Wednesday, February 8th. Obviously, that's not a multi-classroom experience for the people attending. What are you thinking about covering in that one evening for the public?
Right. So for that one evening, that is going to be I want to make that a as dynamic or interactive experience as possible. Again, because I think there's a lot of value in hearing what everybody's experienced. I've experienced cancer from both a personal perspective, but also from a research professional and as a healthcare professional. And so I see things in a certain way, but I want to get different perspectives from everybody else as well. So I want to cover some of the things that we just said. I want to dispel some of the myths and some of the lay out some of the statistics without getting into too much of the weeds and too much of the details with that. But I also want to make a little bit of back and forth and interaction with anybody who's interested in attending to relate their stories and some of their concerns and thoughts about the future and ideas about how to best move forward.
And finally, what can you tell me about the let me see if I can get this right, Translational Biophotonics and Imaging Laboratory?
That's right. So that's my research laboratory, and I've been here since August 2012. When I first moved here, we were a brand new department in biomedical engineering. So it's been a really exciting ride, a really busy ride by seeing the students grow, seeing my graduate students grow and develop. I graduated my first master's student in the spring, and I have two PhD students that are going to graduate and then within the next year or so, which is really professionally satisfying to see them moving, to see the research space and the educational space that we've had be built and be active and watching undergraduates come in, grow, graduate and move on to medical school or graduate school or industry and do great things. From that perspective, this has been the best, most professionally satisfying, I think, 5 years of my life. It's been fantastic. From a research perspective, I think we've figured out our theme, and that theme is what I mentioned sort of in more towards the beginning is looking at patient specific outcomes. My background is primarily in endoscopy, and so I'm familiar with gastrointestinal cancers, and that's really been my focus. And what we're working on is developing advanced imaging and optical spectroscopy tools so we can measure the way light interacts with tissue and try to really uncover what are some of these patient-specific differences that lead to a response or a non-response to different types of chemotherapy agents. So we can help with early diagnosis, but my main goal is to be able to go in when we already know that there's a disease there, when we already know that there may be a tumor present and a clinician is planning their treatment plan or planning a surgery, and gather information to help them do that planning. And I feel, and I think what we're beginning to learn is there are some optical signatures, which are the nice thing about optics is it's actually relatively inexpensive. We can do this for fairly cheap on a per patient basis. There's no ionizing radiation. We don't have to stick you in a CT scanner or an MRI scanner or anything like that. And we can get some patient-specific differences that tell you not only whether a particular drug might work, but also are you actually responding to that drug in the way that we think you will. And so long term, I think that's going to be a really interesting component of my work. And I think I have to really give a shout out to the rest of my faculty members, my colleagues in our department. I don't think I could do this work without them. I have two in particular are also experts in optical imaging and optical technologies. And I see really good things ahead for us as a department and us as a group in this particular endeavor, because we do work really well together. And I think we have a lot of really interesting ideas about the future for that.
Timothy Muldoon is an assistant professor of biomedical engineering at the University of Arkansas and the principal investigator at the Translational Biophotonics and Imaging Laboratory. He'll lead a seminar in the fall at the University of Arkansas called Cancer, a Constellation of Disease, as part of the U of A Honor College's Signature Seminar Series. His public discussion, open to all, will be this Wednesday from 5:15 to 6:15 p.m. in the Gearhart Hall Auditorium on the UA campus. This is Ozarks at Large.